Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with
my friends at the old country church.
Wonderful. So let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the wonderful things that you've given us. Father, thank you for this assembly this morning to hear your word. And Father, may the Holy Spirit be with us and guide us and teach us to go through. In Jesus' name we pray. All right. I'm going to be in a couple different places this morning. I'm going to be bouncing around just a wee bit, not a lot. But just the one I want to talk about this morning, both things we're going to be reading is coming out of the Old Testament. But just the one I want to talk about this morning is giving an example of what not to be, and then kind of giving an example of how it should be. And this is all based off the fact that we're in the end times. You got to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to realize that. And before I get started, like I generally do, give you a little bit of stuff out of the news, because the news don't cover it. In case you don't know, most people in the world today, honestly, could care less what's going on in the world. But I've mentioned this before, but the WHO, the WHO, World Health Organization, which is part of the UN, has officially been entitled to take over your country. Times of need or pandemics or anything of that nature. So they can come in. Let's say we had another so-called pandemic that we just went through. The WHO can come in and mandate that you're going to do this, mandate you're going to do that. And they'll also have the authority to arrest you or do anything they want to do, whatever rules that they put up, they have the authority to do that. So our sovereignty is gone. On top of that, the UN General Assembly has got something called Pact for the Future. Okay? Pact for the Future, if you just really want to boil it down to what it truly is, because I've read the entire thing, Pact for the Future is the one world government, one world order, okay? Or not, that's exactly what it is. And that takes effect September, matter of fact, during the feast days in September 2024. So just a little over a year from now, you you can officially say the one world government, one world order has taken effect. That's when it goes into effect. I encourage everyone, actually go in and read this stuff, because it's all out there. You can pull it up, you can read it, you can do whatever you want to do, and it's all part of the United Nations website. Now, with that being said, I want to give you a scenario, and I'm not by no means, shape, form, or fashion am I saying this is going to happen, so don't put words in my mouth. I'm just giving you a scenario how things could take place, okay? Because one world government's definitely in the Bible, okay? So, let's move up to next year, 2024. On March 30th or 31st, I can't remember the exact day, you have Easter. On April 8th, we had that big solar eclipse. And if you remember, 7-8 years ago, this partner came through. Okay? And they were saying then that whenever, and this was 7-8 years ago, they were saying that whenever the second solar eclipse comes across, and it makes an X right on top of the New Madrid Fault, okay? They were saying, I'm not saying, but that's what all these so-called scientists and whatever else you want to call these people were saying, that there was a high probability of an earthquake happening sometime around whenever the second eclipse, went over that exact same spot. And that'll be on April 8th of 2024. And then shortly thereafter, you have Passover. So you get I don't want to call Easter a biblical event because I don't believe in Easter, but whether you do or you don't, you can say that you've got two biblical events, and in the middle of these two biblical events, you have the solar eclipse. And I don't believe in coincidences, by the way. So let's just say that these people were correct. And there is an earthquake. I don't know how many people know about the geological effects that happen in this particular part of the world, but the rock in this part of the world is extremely strong. So if it was a 4, 5, 6, and God forbid it was something even higher than that, it's going to be catastrophic. This ain't like California where they can get a 5 or 6 out there. People don't even worry about it. Okay? I guess it was about 10, maybe 15 years ago, we had a 1, and it broke foundations 200 miles away. So this, if it happens to be an earthquake of any magnitude whatsoever, it's going to cause devastation. Bridges are going to fall down. Railroad bridges are going to fall down. Highway bridges are going to fall down. A lot of people don't realize it. There's a major, major gas line that runs from Texas all the way to the Northeast that provides gas, natural gas, to the entire Northeast for their heating. What separates the breadbasket from the East Coast. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that can go on, not to mention the millions of deaths, because you got St. Louis there, you got Memphis is going to be in there. Not to mention all the little smaller towns like the Duco. All the little towns around there. But, this is going to be devastated by this. And on top of that, the last time that there was an earthquake in there, the Mississippi River flowed back upstream. Okay? Now, let's say it happens again, and the river flows back up. Well, guess what? You get the Missouri River and the Ohio River that all converge right there on top up into the Mississippi River right there on top of where this fault line is, and all that water starts flowing back upstream. Now you flood in places like Louisville, Cincinnati. You go all the way up to not Philadelphia, but Pittsburgh, because the Ohio River goes right through Pittsburgh. So now you got devastation flooding, and then on the Missouri side, the Missouri River, it goes all the way up to Minnesota. this one little earthquake could cause devastation throughout the entire country. And if that isn't a good enough reason for the UN to come in, I don't know what is. So that gives the UN the ability, because they have already got the right, they didn't sign over with our sovereignty, they've got the right to come in and just take over. Okay? Whether it be the WHO coming in, you know, for the health reasons, because obviously with all the flooding and the sanitary reasons, with the cholera and all kinds of other diseases popping up, plus, you know, all the dead bodies from it that's actually going to be under the water. You know, this going to be devastation. It's going to be massive. What it's going to be. I'm just giving you, this is just a scenario, by the way. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But that gives the WHO the right to do it. And then, you know, like I said, September is when the so-called New World Order officially takes effect. And what better time, because this is during the holy days, all this is taking place. And if you remember, you know, Satan, whenever he does his things, he likes to mimic what Christ did. What better time for all this stuff to take place? I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not saying by any way, shape, form, or fashion that that's what's going to happen. I'm just giving you a scenario. And the scenario is give you more insight and to make you think a little bit more about how close we are, how we need at this particular juncture really start getting into a word and getting right with God, because we don't have much more time. We need to start passing the word to all our friends and neighbors to get them involved in the Bible. Again, we don't have very much more time. Like I said, that's just a scenario. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But what is going to happen is what I said with the UN. That's a done deal. That is definitely going to happen. Okay? Whether they come marching full steam ahead in September, who knows? Okay? I personally think because they want to bring in a new world order, and they also want to bring in a new cryptocurrency all at the same time. And the pandemic, if nothing else, which I think is nothing more than a test, the pandemic, if it didn't do anything else, it showed them that under emergency circumstances, they can get away with anything. They can literally get away with murder, but millions of people were murdered. So that's, if they don't create the scenario, they'll use a natural disaster such as that to go for it. And by the way, I just want to point out the book of Job tells us that Satan can cause natural disaster, by the way. But we're still in that outlook too. So just something to think about. And by no means am I saying that's what's going to happen. Just something to ponder on and think about. So I want to talk to you this morning. I want to start off in the book of Genesis, and then we're going to go to the book of Daniel. We're going to start off with Genesis. And we're going to be in two different chapters. I'm not going to read the whole chapters, neither one of them. So we're going to start off in Genesis 10, and then just read one little section of it, and then we're going to jump over to chapter 11 and finish up. Because it's one thought process. But what we're reading is it's strictly one thought process. So, actually, I want to read one verse, just one verse out of chapter 9. So the verse that I want to start off with is the first verse of chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. You know, just keep that in the back of your mind. So now let's move over to Genesis 10, and we're going to start with verse number 8. Genesis 10, 8. And Cush begot Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty man, a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calam, in the land of Shinar, and out of the land went forth Asher, and builded Nineveh, and the city of Roboth, and Calah, and reason between Nineveh and Calah, the same is a great city. And I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to point out something to you, okay? In Daniel, the last time we was reading Daniel, he was talking about the horns, and then whenever we was in Revelations, he was talking about the ten horns as well, okay? Remember the ten, and he said that the ten kingdoms and the ten kings and all that stuff. We were talking about Babylon, Babel, and the ten, how the ten was one. Well, these cities here is actually what makes up Babel or Babylon. Nimrod was the first great ruler. He was the king of the world, so to speak, because he was the king of all the known worlds. So. And by the way, he was also the first Antichrist. Okay. But he started and ran the first one of all government. And a lot of people don't put the two together, but that is the whole point behind the whole story of Nimrod and the power of Babel was that. Okay. Because it's getting you prepared is what you understand. Because just like King Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything repeats itself. Okay, so we got the ten. These are the ten cities that make up Babylon. It's like the ten horns. And then whenever you look at whenever you've seen the statue and it had the feet of miry clay and mixed with iron, it had ten toes. Well, these are the ten toes. Okay. It also relates to the future. The ten kingdoms, so how the world, whenever the one world government comes on scene, they're going to divide the earth into ten regions or ten provinces, which, by the way, that's already happened. You can go on to the UN website and see which province you actually live in, depending on what part of the world you're listening from. The world already has been split up into the ten kingdoms. Okay. And like I say, challenge and actually request each one of you do this. Don't take my word for anything. Always go back and read it for yourself and understand it for yourself. That way you'll get a better understanding of what's in it. Okay. Now, something else that I want to point out here. A lot of people think that they're talking about him being a hunter, an actual hunter. I don't hunt animals. That's not what they're talking about. He was a tyrant. And people the thing that he was hunting was people. He was a mighty hunter. And it's not the correct thing to say there. It would have been against the Lord instead of before the Lord. Because he was a tyrant. Everything he did was against what God did. Something else now. Now let's move over to chapter 11. Because this is all still one thought process. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Okay? This is, let me give you the backdrop here, okay? This is, God told them to go out and replenish the earth, okay? So this is what they did. They left where the ark landed, and then they spread out. We didn't get into how the lands were divided. That's a whole chapter there. But the land was divided, and each one of the sons was given a particular area for their family to live and for their generations to have. Okay, whole earth was divided. And they were supposed to go out, and they were supposed to populate the earth. They didn't do that. But something else that I want to point out to you. If they were coming out of the ark, then if they were coming from the east and they were going to Shinar, which is modern-day Iraq, how in the world can the ark, which is what all these people say, how can the ark be on Mount Ararat, which is to the west of Iraq? Way west. Mount Ararat is actually in Turkey. It's way west. But they came from the east. And I'm not going to get into how that's... The ark did not land on Mount Ararat, contrary to popular belief, because it says right here, black and white, it says, okay, it came from the east. Once to the east of there, you got and something else. I'm not going to get into a whole lot here. But it says the entire earth up to, well, I think it was 18 feet. I can't tell. I'm not real good at converting cubits into feet, but it was 16 or 18 feet or something like that. Over the tallest mountain. Well, we know that the tallest mountain is my mind just went blank on it. Anyway, it's over there in to the east of the past Indian. I'm sorry, my mind is absolutely over Mount Everest. The tallest mountain is Mount Everest. Okay, that's to the east. To the northern part of India, which is literally to the east of Iraq. And so we start studying the Bible and paying attention to what it says. You'll see that probably 90% of what the secular world tells you absolutely false. And what we have to do, and this is where faith comes in, and in order for us to make it through the hard times that we're getting ready to go through, we have to have unabashed faith, bar none. We have to have total commitment, total faith in believing what this book says, because we don't have anything else. And you can't waver. So that means that every word that you read in here, you can't pick and choose. You got to say every word in this book is absolutely, bar none, the truth. And when you do that, it's going to make enemies of some people. And in other places, they're going to call you conspiracy theorists and all kinds of other stuff because you believe exactly what this book says. So let's move on from that. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, Let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had the brick for stone, and slime that they had, and slime had they for mortar, the slime that they were using when they taught. And they said, go, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the world. Stop right there. Now that is, aside from being a tongue twister, that is a whole lot of information in there. Yeah. So they came up together, and instead of doing what God told them to do, which was go out and populate the entire earth, they decided they was going to stop in one place. Okay? Now there's two different scenarios whenever you read some of the Jewish texts on this, two different scenarios that could have took place. And it just really depends on which one you read. And then there's actually a third that actually incorporates the two of them. So I don't know which one it is. Both of them are, I don't want to say the word wrong, but both of them show that these people were wrong, put it that way. One of them was that they wanted to build the Tower of Babel. So whenever God flooded the earth again, that they would have a place to be, get up above the water.
Yeah.
So that automatically goes against God's word, because he got promised that he wasn't going to do that. So that's number one. The second scenario was that they wanted to build the Tower of Babel so tall, so high, that they could make it into heaven, and Nimrod was going to overthrow God.
Yeah.
Either scenario, either way you look at it, they were against God. That's the point behind this whole story, is they're going against what God wanted them to do, what God told them. And they were going out there, they were doing, it says, making name for themselves. They were taking pride upon themselves, so they put man first. Now, for example, I'll give you a real good example that we just experienced it. Pandemic. Okay. You had 99% of the world's population, and I say the world's population because it was the first time the entire world was involved in something, walking around wearing a mask, getting 15 dozen shots put in their body, all because a man told them to do so. The other few people that didn't do that, they put their trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, never got sick, never took a shot, never wore a mask, and the only thing they had to deal with all the name calling and criticism and, you know, you're killing me and you're killing everybody else, but never got sick. And to this day, 90% of the people that didn't take the shot and didn't wear the mask have not been sick yet, okay, from COVID. I'm not saying that everybody that didn't take the shot, didn't wear a mask, didn't get sick. I'm not saying that at all. But the ones that put their love and trust, faith in Christ, did not get sick. I can say that unequivocally because I am one of those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
sure? Right. So, and I promise you, I never, not one time, wore a mask. I refused to wear a mask. Refused to take the shot. I took a lot of criticism. Was going to get fired from my job. And then I got smart and I said, well, you tell me I got to wear a mask, I'll do customer service type work. So I found the only mask that was actually thoroughly tested for viruses, which cost over $300. But I had one, by the way. So he says, you want me to wear a mask? Okay, here's my mask. I put it on. And he goes, oh, you can't wear that. You said I had to wear a mask. Okay, the point behind wearing a mask is for safety. Okay, if I'm worried about safety, then I'm worried about my safety. Okay, so I put the mask on. And they said, oh, you can't wear that. Then I'm not wearing a mask. I never had another issue with it because they couldn't argue with the point. Could not argue with it. So there's always more than one way to skin cat. That's just the way I did it. But other people had different problems. I know a lot of nurses and doctors didn't want to take it, and ultimately got fired for it. Sometimes you got to do that. By the way, whenever all this stuff takes effect, something of that same nature is going to take place again. And we're going to get into some of a little bit more of it when we get into the book of Daniel. But they've already, I've mentioned this a couple of times, they're already making meat. You know, out of man-made meat that they're putting on shelves. If you go to some of these restaurants, you need to verify what you're eating, particularly when it's chicken. Because it's all, like I said, it's all man-made that you're getting at this particular point. But it's already being put out there, this man-made chicken. And when I say man-made, they're literally taking a cell from a chicken and replicating it billions and billions of times and making this slurry and then pressing it out and selling it to me. And they're selling this to the store. And you can find that. You can go on any news site and find that. They won't report it, but they'll put it in their on their websites and put it at the very bottom on the back page where you got to read, you know, 500 stories to get to it. But it's there. And a lot of the other stuff that you're reading, like breading, and they're already starting to put it in a lot of cake mixes and things of this nature. And I can't remember the exact word that they use, because they always want to use some big, long Latin word to confuse people. But it's meal flour made out of crickets. Okay? So you need to research it. You can find the word that it is. And let's say some big long word. I can't remember what it was. I could pronounce it even if I had it in front of me. Anyway, it was one of the big long Latin words. But they're putting that in your food already. So you're already eating mugs, whether you know it or not. You can look at some of the different packages and see if they're putting that stuff in there. So they're changing our diet, know it or not, or believe it. But they are. And that's one of the things, and we'll get into Daniel, that's one of the things they did. They made sure they were using proper food. But that's getting into something else. But just wanted to let you understand what's going on and what's coming down the road. Right, so, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord says, behold, the people is one. Now let's just stop right there. Let's just stop right there, because that in and of itself speaks volumes, okay? So we already know that the one world government is not going to be a good one. They're trying to bring back Nimrod's Babel. That's why it's called, by the way, that's why it's called Babylon in Revelation. It's because that's what the whole point behind it is, what they're trying to go back to, the one world government, worshiping Satan and worshiping Nimrod, which I can say was the first Antichrist. And I've said before, you can't understand the New Testament if you don't have a good, thorough understanding of what happened in the past, because it's really late. But you got the one world government. And then you got this Yahoo over in Rome called the Pope that's been pushing a one world religion. He's been, you know, getting the Buddhists and the Muslims and the Catholics and the Protestants and the Satanists. Believe it or not, they even had a representative from that there too, this last one. Getting all these people together and calling it a one world religion. And that's what they're pushing that as well. Okay? And that mentions that in the Bible as well. So all these things are just coming to a crescendo all at one time. That's why I say you have to be deaf, dumb, and blind enough to know where the end times. Behold, the people is one. They have all one language. Oh, and by the way, I don't know how many of y'all have ever traveled the world. Probably 80% of the entire world's population at this particular moment speaks English. At least 80%. I've been around the entire world, and I have never been anywhere where I couldn't speak English. Nowhere. Now, whether they can speak it where you can understand it real well, it's a different story. But they know what you're saying whenever you suppose that they speak English, because of sometimes their thick accents, you have a hard time understanding what they're saying. But they're speaking English, and they definitely understand it. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from hence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore, is the name that they called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. From thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. So, we are not, I don't want to say we're not supposed to get along, but we're not really supposed to get along. And I don't mean this in a bad kind of sort of way, but we're supposed to be segregated, separated to a degree. And I'm not getting into some of this racial stuff that people's minds is automatically going to. That's not what I'm talking about. You're supposed to, if you live on this side of the world in the U.S., you're not really supposed to intertwine so much like what we're doing now with a global shipping and, everything you buy from China, this kind of stuff. That's what it's trying to avoid, because that brings in more of this one world government type of thing. Okay? The nations in and of themselves, they may want to say, all right, I want to have a pact with you that we're going to do this little bit of trade here. And leave it at that. Don't get into the whole thing where, you got this whole European Union thing, the whole North American alliance that we have, all this kind of crap. Because then it brings in all this other stuff. And just briefly, because it just popped in my mind, talk about the money, and this very well, as a matter of fact, I thought almost guaranteed this is going to cause a war at some point. I don't know how many of y'all have ever heard of BRICS, but that's a major thing. Everybody's going away from the dollar. Okay? The BRICS is a digital currency, which I don't know how many countries it is. I think about 30 or 40 right now that are involved in this BRICS, to include Russia, Saudi Arabia, China, pretty much anybody that you could ever call our enemy, they're all going to BRICS. And probably half of the people that you call our friends are going to BRICS. They're all going away from the U.S. dollar. And whenever they all go away from the U.S. dollar, all this crap that they're doing in Washington is going to cause our economy to fail. And on top of that, because the dollar still is alive at this moment, if the dollar fails, then the whole economy, the world economy fails. And that's ultimately why they're going to the BRICS, because everybody else sees that the American economy is going to fail, and it's going to fall flat on its face. And all these other countries don't want to be succumbed to us falling, so that's why they're going to the BRICS. But nonetheless, if they all go to the BRICS, it's going to cause us to fail too. So it's really a no-win scenario for the U.S. But I digress. Let's go to Daniel now to finish this up. And I'm not going to read. I'm not going to read a lot of Daniel. I don't know how much time I've got left anymore. We're going to start with chapter 1. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to start with chapter 1, verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel in favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. The prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who hath appointed your meat and your food, for why should he see your faces worsening in the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endangered my head to the king. All right, so let me give you the scenario for it. So they're in captivity. Daniel at this point is still a kid. I don't know how old he was, maybe a teenager, in teenage years. He was still, for sure, a young man. And it was, you know, they turned him into a eunuch. And they were getting trained up in all the things to be one of their soothsayers and magi or whatever you want to call them. That's what he was being trained to do. So he was going to be one of the king's go-to guys, for the lack of another word. And thus, part of their training, they were also allotted a certain amount of food from the king's stores. So they were given the best food that the king had and all this other stuff. But Daniel and his buddies, which is why we can eat that, because all the food had been sacrificed to their god. And they didn't want no part of that. So they decided that, you know, all they were going to eat was things that had not been sacrificed to that. So they were just going to be eating like some porridge or some barley meal and things of that nature, which we'll get into here in just a second, and some plain old thing water. Then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meal, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance was fair and fatter in flesh, and the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Now, again, I want to stop right there. And when you go back, and I encourage you to do this, I'm not going to do it today, but in Revelation, it talks about foods being, matter of fact, when you're talking about reading the 10 churches, or the 7 churches, I mean, one of the things that they were talking about was eating food that had been sacrificed to other gods. And that's in one of the churches. And I'm not going to get into right now who 7 churches are, because that goes against what most people believe, but I'm not getting into all that today. You don't have time. But read the 7 churches and you'll see where I'm talking about them. But they put their trust in the Lord, and they only ate the food that had not been sacrificed. Okay, so pulse could have been, you know, bread, barley. It could have been, you know, like fruit and vegetables, things of that nature, which I'm sure a good portion of it was just plain fruits and vegetables and stuff of that nature. So we'll stop there, and then move over to chapter 12. We stopped at 16. Yeah, we'll just finish up this one chapter here and follow the day. Thus, Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding and all visions and dreams. And now at the end of their days, that the king had said should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and He continued with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore said before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king required of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers, that they were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the year of King Cyrus. And then the next thing I wanted to talk about was in chapter 3. The chapter 3 is pretty long, so I'll just give you a real quick synopsis of it. Okay? Because this is something else that is coming down to us and something else that we need to understand. And I encourage you to read this on your own after the fact. And it's talking about literally bowing down, okay, bending the knee, worshiping other gods. And there are people right now, daily bending the knee to other gods. And you say, no, there ain't no other gods out there. Okay. The God of the Muslims is the same God we worship. No, it's not. The God of the Buddhists is the same God we worship. No, it's not. But that's not even what I was talking about. You got all these people out there, and they're, you know, Washington's full of them right now. They're bending the knee, worshiping the earth, worshiping the Gaia, which is nothing more than Semiramis, the married Nimrod, or Isis, and all the different names that she went by. But they're worshiping Mother Earth, okay? You know, calling it Mother Earth gets into some Catholicism and other stuff. I'm not going down that road today either, but they're all bended to me. They're worshiping other gods. And if you don't think worshiping Mother Earth is worshiping other gods, then you've got major problems. You need to go back and start reading the Bible. You don't bend your knee to nobody but to our Father above, bar none. Nor do you call anybody Father but the Father above, bar none. But, you know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, which were the three fellows that we just mentioned again, because they were given Babylon names, they refused to bend the knee. And because they refused to bend the knee, they were the executed. But their form of execution was to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they made the furnace 7 times harder than it's ever been made before. And they threw them in there. And it was so hot that whenever the guards that threw them into the furnace got close to throw them in, it literally killed them and burned them up. But Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, while they're in there, you know, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was in there with them and protected them. And because even Nebuchadnezzar himself appears to be the Son of God in there protecting them, because he sees 4 people instead of 3. And then whenever they came out, they didn't even have the smell of the flame on them, let alone the incense and burned or anything of that nature. So that's what it means to have true faith, okay? And that's what we got to have in these end times. We got to have true, unabashed, unabated faith, and it's got to be only in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not in some doctor, not in some idiot up in Washington, D.C., not in some idiot that's going to take charge of over the whole world, okay? We don't have faith in any of them. And just real quick, it's important that I mention this, okay? It's important that you understand this. This one world government that is fixing to come on the scene, this is not, I repeat, not, say again, not, the beast government. Okay? The one world government and the beast government are two separate things. You've got churches out there already, because some of them know about this, and they are already saying that the rapture is fixing to happen. Get ready. Any second now, you're fixing to be raptured. Well, first of all, there's no such thing as a pre-tribulation rapture. But on top of that, the one world government is not the beast Yes. It's not the base covenant. Only the 10 toes, the 10 horns. Okay. The beast government comes out of this one world government. The 10 regions of the world, the 10 kings of some of those 10 regions of the world, that's where it comes from. Okay. It may not be one of those 10 kings, probably won't be one of those 10 kings, because he's going to take care of two of them. Two of them is going to merge into eight, and that's he's going to be the eighth king. Okay. And the Bible tells us all that very plainly. So don't, all these TV evangelists and all this stuff, don't listen to them. I'm telling you, they're going to get you in a world of hurt. There's no such thing as a pre-tribulation rapture. We're going through a lot of this stuff. A lot of it. We're going to go through. Many of us are going to die. Many of us are going to be beheaded. Okay? But we are the saints. Okay? You got a lot of people out there that says, oh, that's only for Israel. Well, if you read Paul, you find out we were grafted in. We are Israel. Okay. Don't let these people confuse you with the facts. Okay? A lot of them can't see the forest for the trees, so to speak. We are Israel because we were grafted in. We are Israel. So all this stuff, and when it talks about Israel and stuff in the New Testament, they're talking about you. A lot of people say, you know, all the discourse where they're talking about the end times. Oh, well, don't listen to that because that's only for the Jews. It's only for the Israelites who were grafted into Israel. That belongs to us now. That's telling us what's happening. Oh, and by the way, if you compare that to the Revelations, work for it. Sometimes. Both of them straight out of Christ now, by the way. So you need to be prepared. Because if you honestly believe that you're going to be raptured before all the bad things happen, you're deluding yourself, you're lying to yourself, and the people that's got you believing that has lied to you as well. Okay, you should in fact want to go through all that stuff, because I wouldn't say you're Jesus Christ went through it. We are absolutely no better than he is. He went through it. And one of the apostles went through it. You know, I don't think I'm better than any one of the apostles. I'm certainly not better than my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So why should I think that I should be pulled out of here before the bad times hit? That goes totally against what the Bible says. And on top of that, tribulation means testing. That's literally what the word means. Okay? We're being tested. We are the ones that's being tested, not the people that's already going to hell. You know, the Satanists, the Buddhists, and all these other people, they're not being tested. Okay? They've done made their decision. They're going to hell. The testing is for us to see if we're worthy. Okay? Everybody gets that all cornwoggled out there. But read your Bible, study your Bible. Keywords, study your Bible, and you'll find out all this stuff. Not one single solitary word in here that says there's a pre-tribulation rapture. Not one. You got to do some really far stretching to come up with it that there is. So. All right, we're going to stop there. My point behind all this is, my point behind everything that we did and read today is you need to get yourself ready. You need to get yourself prepared. You need to understand that you're going to go through some hard times. You're going to go through some rough times. You need to pay attention to the foods that you eat. You need to pay attention to the fact that they're pumping your body full of all kinds of chemicals. They're, you know, these new shots that they're, you know, like the COVID shots, those are mRNA. RNA, what you have inside your body. They say it changes the virus, but it didn't change a thing on the virus. What it's doing is changing your body. And a lot of scientists are actually coming out and saying that people's DNA has already been altered. Okay. And by the way, if your DNA has been altered, then that makes you not human. And if you're not human, you can't go to heaven. Okay? But be aware of these things. Be study what the mark of the beast is, 666. Okay? It very likely could be something like a shot. I'm not saying that it is. I'm not saying that it's not. But if there's something that can change your DNA, then it's something you definitely don't want to put in your body if you don't want to take these kinds of chances. We're real close. Okay? We're real close to the mark of the beast coming on to the scene. Couple years, 3-4 years down the road, maximum, I think, before all this takes effect. So you need to study. You need to be aware of what's going on. Understand that you need to put all your trust and faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not in the man. Don't puff yourself up thinking that you can do this and thinking you can do that. So that's what happened to them, Tower of Babel. They were making a name for themselves. There's only one name out there, and that's Jesus. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to care about. Put your love and faith and trust in him, and then we can move forward. That's the only way we can ensure that we're going to spend eternity with him, too, by the way. That's, you know, you've got a lot of people on the fence out there. You know, you want to live their life in an earthly way, and then on Sunday they want to be, you know, Christians, but you can't do that. It's all or nothing. And it's, you gotta choose a side, all or nothing. Right or wrong, you're gonna live with it through eternity. That's what you gotta understand. Alright, so let's go to the Father and prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all the wonderful things that you've given each and every one of us. Thank you for giving us your understanding of your word. Lord, we pray that you will be with each and every one of us who are fortunate of us, we make our words through all the trials and tribulations that you will set forth for us. Lord, we pray that you will give us the strength, the faith, and the understanding, perseverance, and endurance. And Father, please look after all the little babies that are being murdered in the womb. Give strength and faith to all the martyrs that are being martyred in your name throughout the world, even as we speak. And Father, for all the people that's on our prayer list, you know what they need. Please help them with whatever it is that they need. And Father, we thank you for everything that you've given us. We thank you for the trials and tribulations that you give us on a daily basis and the strength that you've given us. All these things that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody have a blessed day. Thank you. Goodbye.